Tonight we tell a tale where the radio host is one of the main heroes, and you know that is right up our alley. And what does the expression up our alley mean? I assume the butthole. We're going to answer that question and many more when we wade through the fog tonight on the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. You're listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. I am Joe.
Jay here.
Hey, you guys, it's Matt.
So this would be the time where we talk about new horror news. We're going to have a section in the beginning of every episode that's going to get into that. We don't really have too much right now, though, because it's like the beginning of the year still, and there's not a lot out there. Justin will be doing these moving forward, but tonight I'm just going to give you a real quick thing, which is that Lisa Frankenstein, which is a new unique horror movie that people seem to like quite a bit, is now available to rent for a movie ticket price. But I think that a lot of people do enjoy renting those movies because you don't have the time to go out and see these things. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to check it out. Hopefully you guys check it out as well, because it's something different, and I support that. And we'll probably let you know what we think about it when we all sit down and watch it relatively soon. So that's one of the few things to really put out there for now. So, The Fog was released on February 1st, 1980, and was directed by the legendary John Carpenter. This film was written by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, who had just come off of Halloween. And there's a lot of Halloween-type trivia and actors that return to this movie. The film revolves around the town of Antonio Bay, which is a small Californian coastal town that hides a very dark secret. 100 years ago, the residents of this town purposefully wrecked a clipper ship that was coming in to establish a nearby leper colony. In fear of having the colony built, they decided to create some kind of distraction that crashed the ship, the Elizabeth Dane, killing all of its passengers. Now, the passengers were wealthy people who were trying to establish a colony for their leprosy-afflicted owner named Captain Blake. Once the ship crashed, the townspeople went out, plundered, and used the gold to establish the town that they're currently in. Now, 100 years later, the town starts its centennial celebrations. And as the festivities near, the ghosts of the Elizabeth Dane come to take six lives in vengeance for the six people that crashed their ship. Now, the film stars Adrienne Barbeau as DJ Stevie Wayne. She has a radio show up in a lighthouse. So she's the character that gets to basically tell everybody what's going on and warn the townspeople of what's happening. You also have Tom Atkins as Nick Castle, as a nod to Halloween, where actor Nick Castle played Michael Myers. Nick Castle's character in this is a resident who gets tied up in the whole story when one of his friends goes missing, a fisherman who is one of the first victims in the movie. We're also joined by Halloween alumni Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays Elizabeth, and she is a drifter that gets caught up with Nick and his whole tale, and fucks him a bunch. We have Hal Holbrook playing Father Patrick Malone, who is our exposition expert and unearths a book that tells us everything we need to know throughout the movie. We have Jamie Lee Curtis's mother, Janet Lee, who plays Kathy Williams, alongside Nancy Loomis, also from Halloween, who's playing Sadie, and they are getting ready for the town celebration. And we have Charles Cypress, who plays Dan, our weatherman, and he is also from Halloween. He played Sheriff Brackett. So while the celebration starts, the ghost of Captain Blake and his shipmates come into the town through the fog to take their vengeance. The townspeople find out what's going on with the help of Stevie Wayne's radio show and try to keep safe while Father Patrick Malone tries to find a way to stop these guys. Now, like I said, there's a lot of like Halloween stars that come back here. There's also a lot of names that are used. We have a character named Tommy Wallace, also a producer on Halloween. And then we have John Carpenter making a cameo, and his character, uncredited though, is named Ben Tramer, also from Halloween. This movie was put up by ABCO Embassy Pictures. A fan favorite, obviously something that we barely hear about. So,
what did you guys think about The Fog? I know it's not the first time you've seen it. Or actually, Jay, is it the first time you've seen it?
It is the first time I've seen it, actually.
Fucking really?
Yep. Wow. Yeah, I have not seen it. And I didn't realize that. I mean, maybe I did. I'm not sure. But I've seen the remake, which I don't know if at that point in time I thought was an original movie.
You mean the one with Johnny Depp?
What do you mean with Johnny Depp?
Like, with this, like the fucking pirates and the fog, and like they take the gold, and then the pirates turn into zombies. They want the gold back.
That was the same one from 2005.
No, like Pirates of the Caribbean. I think it's like
a couple years ago. My god.
Ole.
But yeah, no, this was the first time that I saw 1980 The Fog,
all right,
which
now
was pretty interesting.
Obviously, Matt, you've seen it a few times before.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I haven't seen it in years, though.
Yeah, but you've heard of it, right, Jay? Or are you just joking before about, like...
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if I've actually heard of the 1980 Fog.
Wow.
Like, I remember when the other one came out and I watched it, and I don't know if at that point in time I researched it or knew that there was a previous to Fog and this was a remake. I honestly have no recollection at all. I really don't. But this is 100% the first time I've seen this movie.
What did you think of it?
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. I mean, overall, I thought it was good. There was a couple of things that I didn't, that to me, like, didn't pan out. My biggest gripes with the movie were probably the pacing. Like, to me, it was like a pretty slow movie. The ending, I didn't really like
the
ending.
Would you say it was like a slow rolling fog?
Definitely slower than the fog in the movie.
It's appropriately titled.
Sometimes the movie, like the fog in the movie, is mad slow, and then sometimes it's just like crazy fast for no reason. But yeah, no, I didn't like the ending. I kind of hated the ending, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you never really knew about it. Now, Matt, did you see this like when you were young, like a kid?
Yeah, I saw it a couple times as a kid. Like, I would always catch it like somewhere in the middle. I think, don't know if I've ever actually sat through the movie start to finish. Like, not that I've turned it off, but I would always like pick it up.
You don't know if you like deliberately watched it.
No, I never like sought it out and put on the fog. I never owned it on a DVD or anything like that. I think it was a lot of it in memory kind of blurred together with a couple other movies of the time period. Like, for me, it has similar memories to The Blob, this ominous force that, you know, I would always think, like, was that seen in this or that, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, oh yeah, someone with the purple thing, not the white thing, you know.
Right. Yeah, no, I've seen it on purpose a couple times in the past.
Intentionally watched this movie?
Yeah, I did. I've seen it like more recently than I think like when I was younger, but I enjoy it. I love John Carpenter. I'll say I love John Carpenter. I love his films. They're like instantly nostalgic to me.
Oh yeah.
Halloween is my favorite movie of all time. This is not Halloween level horror movie. I think it's got its flaws. And, you know, I don't think that critically it did, you know, that well either, especially coming off the heels of Halloween, because it was right off the heels of Halloween. But I do like applaud it for being different, you know, because he didn't just go to the well, like, well, Halloween worked, I'll do another Halloween movie, whatever. The opposite, really. He wanted nothing to do with Halloween 2. So he made this movie. But...
Yeah, and even though he brought Jamie Lee Curtis back to work with him, like, he... It's a completely different person in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's bonkers that it took her like 50 more years to get an Academy Award, but she was great in this. Like, she was really
different
like
character.
Outstanding. Yeah,
she was.
Like, you bought every scene she was in.
Yeah,
and it never felt of that like fringe factor that you sense in a lot of other movies at this time.
Yeah, no, agreed. You know, it's funny, for someone that's labeled like a scream queen, right? She's like a big horror, you know, actress. She's not in a lot of horror movies. Like, this time period was it. You know, it was like Halloween, this, you know, Terror Train. There's something else. I forget what it was. Prom Night. And that's it, you know, Halloween 2. And she went on to do other things, you know, and occasionally she jumped into these Halloween like sequels from time to time. But, you know, just because that's like where she got her start. It's just always funny to me that that's what she's known for when she stopped doing that very early on in her career.
It's the same kind of concept as, you know, where is Jenna Ortega going to be in 5 years? You know, is she still going to be doing her, or is she going to move on to like, okay, that's where I got my nest egg and my notoriety, and now I want to start branching out, you know?
Yeah, she's just tiny little Helena Bonham Carter. She's going to be the same fucking character.
Yeah, I think that's 100% correct.
Well, I wasn't meaning to say that Jenna Ortega is going to win an Oscar in 75 years or anything like that.
Or be alive.
For having hot dog fingers.
I can 100% see that girl doing like an Edward Scissorhands remake where it's the girl instead of the guy being the
same. Well, I mean, she's already in Beetlejuice 2.
Right. I think she plays Lydia's daughter.
Right. So she's already on track to be Tim Burton's baby Helena Bonham Carter.
I don't think he lets people go.
No.
I think he keeps them somewhere.
Yeah, you have a soul bond.
It's like this, like if you put on the certain type of glasses, you see like a dark feather, like a smoky tendril that comes out of his chest into hers.
We got
That
way
poor girl.
off the fucking topic.
Yeah, I know.
So yeah.
Foggy Bond?
No, fucking no. This wasn't a movie that I look at a lot of horror movies from, the 80s, and I think about how I've seen some of the popular ones, just around more, like video stores, posters, just in places. Like you just knew those movies were a thing, even if you didn't see them. The Fog is like second tier, I feel like. It's not like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, those kind of like huge horror movies that are just everywhere. But people do know it. They know it exists. They've heard of it, except for fucking Jay, I guess. I don't know how.
Yeah,
Like
I'm
there's a
telling you,
whole generation of kids.
at that time, I have no idea. Like, I could have thought that was the original one, and
I
no
don't
clue,
want
right?
to
I
be hired.
have no idea. And like I said, I have no recollection of if that's how I felt, if I knew about it. Nope. And like
Right, because
jumping
it's
back, like Matt was saying that, he has like some, feeling about like this movie and The Blob, which that's another one that I haven't seen, but. To me, I have like the same kind of feeling with this movie and The Thing, because there's like that like ominous kind of like auras and that kind of like weird kind of stuff. It's like anytime I was watching this, I had like some feelings about that and The Thing. I know it's not direct, with the aliens and the zombies and the pirates and whatever else, but yeah, it's like that kind of like atmosphere.
yeah.
You know what? This actually reminded me a lot about Jaws. Just like when they were like walking up and down like the water and all the boats, and it was like the same style of boats and Jaws. I mean, I almost felt like I know it wasn't like Amityville. Was this in like Boston or where was this? It was like some
No,
island.
it was California.
That's right.
Yeah, if it was in Boston, it would have been like, "Are you a fucking frog?
Fucking fraud.
I'm not a fucking
I was like, they're like, everyone go to the old church or just go east. They'll be fine.
Get away from the fucking fog."
Like a fucking foghorn up in here.
I think people had a certain level of expectation when he came out with a horror movie after Halloween, right? And then we got this, and it was like kind of a ghost story. And I don't think people really liked it. I think it became more popular later on, where like people, started going back and digging up directors' movies and looking at them again, on a DVD or, even VHS or whatever. Obviously, enough to make a fucking remake not that long ago, 20 years ago. Two, one might say. Yeah, I think people started to appreciate this movie a little bit more later on, and not when it came out right away. Tom Atkins is in tons of 80s horror movies, and Jay, if you don't know Tom Atkins, you're going to learn about this motherfucker all year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he plays Nick Castle, who's also, that's the name of the guy who played Michael Myers in Halloween. But so
Does the actor who played Michael Myers? His name
he
was Nick
the act,
Castle?
yeah, Nick Castle is the actor who played Michael Myers. This character's name, Nick Castle, who's played by Tom Atkins. And Tom Atkins just fucks. That's all he does. And he picks up Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh yeah, right on the side of the road.
Yeah. Right. He picks up fucking Elizabeth. They get, stranded because the fog breaks their car windows. And the next scene is just like they're both naked in bed. You're like, this guy works so fast. And I don't get it. I'm not trying to be like a fucking,
Why are you hating on Tom
I'm
Atkins?
not trying to be a
He
shamer,
looked old
but it's
enough to
like,
be your dad.
yeah, but he often fucks girls who are way too young for him in movies. Maybe in real life too. I don't fucking know. But I don't understand why Tom Atkins is our guy in horror movies. Like, why is he the sex symbol? And the other one too, fucking Adrien Barbeau.
I think you're trying very hard to be mean. You're doing a great job.
All right. I just don't get it. I don't know. That's what we have. That's our people.
No,
Sorry, Jay.
I didn't think she was that bad looking.
Yeah.
The radio DJ. I mean, she was no Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis was looking good,
Yeah, they actually
she was
had
all right.
written explicitly in the script, she's not a smoker, and she's like, I can't go 30 seconds without a cigarette. Have you seen my face?
So that's fucking mean, Jay. That's the difference.
That's mean.
Yeah. I was like, you're like, oh, you're being mean, and Matt's like, hold my beer.
Hold my LaCroix. Tom Atkins is still alive. He's 88. They should put him in a movie with Jenna Ortega. See, see if he still goes for the younger ones.
That's a crime, brother.
She's under 18?
No. No, she's in her early 20s.
No, it's still gross. The fog comes rolling into town. You know, it's a slow go at it, really, because it's just like they shut the power down in the town, and really the only person we have at this point is Stevie Wayne to tell us everything that's going on. Like, we don't have communication. We just have the fucking the news.
Which, right, it's not even news. It's just a radio hostess of a radio station that's clearly not doing well because they only have a show from whatever 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. Like, it's very limited times. And then part of the times when she's watching, you know, she's talking about the broadcast and whatever, she gives you the weather update, she gives you the shit. And then there's other parts where she's like, get him out, please, please, go there, he's there, he's trapped in, go. Like, no, I'm just gonna change the station, I don't want to hear this, I'm not having it.
We're just like 30 miles inland, but still picking up the station.
Like, if we did that on our show, like, just in the middle of nowhere, just screamed about, like, saving Justin and stuff like that.
Justin's in trouble. Please, I need you to go right now. Go to his house.
I don't know why you should be tuning into a podcast in the middle of it, but still. Oh, God.
I want to know what the viewership is on that station.
I don't
fucking believe totally that station on.
Double though. Digits max. Like, there's no way.
No.
There's no way people are listening to that.
Somebody was listening to that shit at like 12:32 a.m. And like the next day, they're like, yo, I heard the weirdest shit on the radio last night. They have no connection.
Desperate cries of help. From some woman for her kid. What was this?
You have this like weird subplot going on with like, I don't know, some kind of like town centennial or whatever it is. I don't remember exactly what they were celebrating, but
right.
It's Janet Lee and Nancy Loomis's character. Now, Nancy Loomis was in Halloween. She was one of the teenagers. Janet Lee is Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. There's like this scene in the movie where they're on the dock. Remember that part where like Nick and Elizabeth are talking about like trying to get his friend back, and they're on that dock. So that dock apparently was like way far away from where the rest of this movie was filmed, but that dock was famous for being in The Birds. And I think it was like a little bit of a tribute to that movie because there's some like similarities between The Birds and this movie. Like, obviously you just replace some things, but I guess it's just like some kind of tribute. I don't really know what the reason for it is. I saw someone talk about it, but they didn't really know either. But yeah, it's like kind of far away from it, and it was a real short scene, but it was very specifically at that place that's famous for The Birds. You know, it's one of like the film locations that people go to. But we you know, we get to the end basically now. The town is sort of blacked out, right? We only have, you know, Stevie Wayne to help everybody out, get everybody together. They all go to the church. That's where we find out the gold was buried. I'm saying the gold was turned into a cross, which was like, you know, in the basement of the church, and they're gonna give it back, right? Pretty typical ghost story, I think, right? Like this revenge story. Give us back the thing we're looking for.
Right. Their property was stolen. They want it back. Give it back and all is well.
Is that what you don't like about the movie? Like,
yes.
Okay.
That's well, what do you mean by that?
You said you don't like the ending.
Right. And that's why. Because like, so to jump to the ending, right? So now they give the gold back and then you think everything's fine, right? Because the contract has been resolved and they got their items back. And there's no more haunting. That's it. And you think, okay, everything's good. And I would have been fine with that because I'm like, all right, this is what they were after. And they got it. And now it's over.
Right.
But it's not over because they needed to jump back to like literally like the last 2 seconds before it cuts the credits. It's like, well, the fog's back. The zombie pirates are here. And they just fucking hacked this guy's head off for no reason.
You didn't like that? You didn't think that?
No.
Because I kind of felt like that was showing like, okay, yeah, you gave us back the gold, but that's not what we're here for. We're here, like, they were very specific about that. They were here to kill Six, right? With Six for the, that was the thing that we heard.
So is he, see, and that's like something that obviously that I well, missed, I right? That's why I didn't miss it up with the...
Right, he was a direct descendant, that guy. It was his grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever. It was like, you know, his family's book. Like, right. His great-grandfather, I believe... It might have been his grandfather, I don't remember, but like it was very specifically about him. I mean, he was one of the main guys, so that's his descendant. So like if that's their plot, they wanted their revenge in like a body count. So when they gave the gold away, I'm like, that's kind of a cop out. But so when they do kill him, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes fucking sense to me. But yeah,
Yeah,
thanks.
see, and that's definitely something that I missed, which is probably why I didn't like it at all. Now, just out of curiosity, was that kill the sixth kill? Was that the sixth person, or is it every 100 years they're going to come back until there's six descendants from this person's bloodline? Because you figure at that point they're just going to snuff out the bloodline
Well,
before they
yeah.
even.
We know that they've come back before, I think, right? Like they mentioned, there was some kind of talk about
It
how
said, well,
another
yeah, it
boat
said a
was.
100 years ago. And like that was something I mentioned. I watched the trailer like right before this podcast, you know, because I didn't see the trailer before. I was like, you know, let me see the trailer, see if there's anything interesting to pick up from the trailer. You know what was interesting about the trailer? I don't know if you guys have seen it or if it's
I
been a
saw
long
it.
time since you've seen it. It is
Which
ridiculous.
one,
Okay.
though?
It
Because there's a couple.
says the
It's the same
trailer
thing
I
three
sent, it was like,
times.
yeah, but I think it was a spliced thing together. It was like, it's so weird. That's the trailer I
It's
sent in the chat is so bizarre.
right, because when I watched it, I'm like listening and I'm watching, and it's like 100 years ago, a fog came. 100 years ago, an evil fog came. 100 years ago, evil fog came and killed people. Why? Like, I'm like, am I fucking losing my mind? Are they saying the same thing like over and over? I
I
don't
think they took
understand
all
where
the
they're going
trailers
with
and
this
spliced
shit.
them together
It's
for that
so
YouTube
fucking
clip. It's
dumb.
so
Like,
fucking
I
weird.
didn't
Like,
understand
we.
it. It's like, I think I'm having a stroke. I don't know.
I
Should I call
was like,
someone? Or
are you
maybe I should
seeing
just
this
start up
too?
my own radio station and seek help.
Get me to a hospital. Get me to a
So,
hospital.
so he took to the radio. He's like,
They got a guy with OCD to just like fucking do it. He's like, I gotta say it three fucking times.
gotta say it three fucking times.
All right, Matt. Yeah, so I don't know. I thought that was actually kind of a cool ending.
Yeah.
Just imagine in my lore that they took the gold and then they went to
Invested
like
in
it,
Bitcoin.
no, a limb replacement, you know, kind of thing. And they were like, can I trade this for a nose back? And they were like, nah, bro, it's a gold cross. And they were like, I'm gonna go kill that fucker. Because I'm taking this fucking hash.
It's like,
That's all they wanted. They're fucking lepers.
there's like some sloppy things in the movie, some things that just don't really work or don't really like make sense. And also, like, yeah, the villain is a slow-moving thing of smoke. So like it does get a little boring maybe from time to time. I you know, as much as I like the movie, I do find myself sort of like losing attention once in a while, or kind of like feel like lulled to sleep because like literally the narrator is just like some like radio host that's like trying to put you to bed or get you hard. I don't know
Yeah.
what it is.
You can go to bed or stay up with me, keep me turned on, and I'll keep you turned on. And I was like, okay.
And her like boyfriend, not boyfriend, meteorologist that would call in,
Meanwhile, her son is
like,
listening to everything
yeah.
because she's speaking to him through the radio station.
Yeah.
I found myself very, very frustrated with people that this ominous fog rolls in and then there's creepy knocking at the door. Nobody even says, hello? Who is it? Nothing. Everyone's just like, let me just open the door and then turn my back to the door and go, it's nothing, just glowing fog.
You know how it does.
Yeah, the fog was kind of like vampires in that way, because like they needed permission to get in. Like they couldn't just seep under the door. Like, you know, I don't know, it was kind of weird.
We're going from, you know, a movie that's a slasher film to something like this, which is like a ghost story with very different kind of characters, different kind of effects. Special effects wise, it's a little bit different than what we saw in the last movie he did. And really just most of the movies in the 80s, I think that, you know, gore sort of takes center stage when it comes to special effects. It's like, you know, bodies being mutilated or whatever. That's what the focus is, you know, in unique ways and things that just get like a rise out of somebody or just look really cool. This does not do that. This goes for, you know, a different kind of visual effect, which is, you know, the fog moving around. And it's dated, you know, like you watch it now, and you're like, all right, you know, it makes the movie look old.
Sometimes it was
Sometimes,
really well
yes.
done.
Like,
Yeah.
give me an example.
All right. That's part of my Halloween decorations. You know, I learned a lot about fog machines, and I found out in order to create the effect of that creeping fog, you have to have it cool and then spill out to kind of create that creeping fog effect. And it's not easy to do that. Like, you have to have like a lot of like contraptions and dry ice and everything, and it was all hidden really well. Some of the scenes just look like farts floating by. some of the scenes that were like, what was like really dense coming under doors, and like it looked alive. It looked like tendrily, the creepiness. And I know that a lot of technical work went into achieving that effect from having had some limited experience with it. And I don't know. I think it's not just like, oh, I can appreciate what a pain in the ass that was. I think it looked really cool at some points. And some points it just literally looked like a fucking cloud, you know?
Well, they did a lot of that stuff backwards. That's something else to kind of applaud the movie.
They sped it up. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot of things backwards, which means the actors had to act backwards.
And well, what do you mean by that? Like, in what way?
Like, instead of forward.
They shot it in reverse. Fucking dick. they shot it in reverse. So actors had to act kind of in reverse, knowing that the movie was going to be played forward to make the fog
suck the fog out.
Yeah, basically. So the one thing actors couldn't do in those scenes was blink, because it wouldn't come out right. If they were blinking and they're reversing the film, it's going to look fucked up. But they were able to kind of act in a way where they could say, okay, you know, this is just doing the things backwards. So there was like things that were done in the movie that are just definitely over people's heads. I watched like some documentaries and stuff on the special effects, like in preparation for this, because I just wanted to like have talking points. And I was curious, you know, like how they put some of this stuff together, because, you know, practical effect like that's in a typical slasher movie, or, you know, even a typical like 80s horror movie where it's just, you know, like a flesh wound of some sort. Like, I can understand how that works. You know, I get that. I could look at it like, oh, they probably did this, that, or whatever. But in The Fog, like, I didn't understand a lot of the stuff. And then I watched a documentary. I still didn't fucking get it. You know, it was complicated. So, yeah, I definitely applaud it for that, because there are moments where it looks really cool. They put a lot of hard work into it.
You know, just there were a variety of effects, you know, somewhere. Sometimes you could just tell it was a white light behind some smoke. Yeah, some of the scenes I thought were really well done. If it was like some kind of combination of matte painting, but then how they had the creeping fog effect. And then I would almost want to either rewatch it through that lens, like looking for what looks backwards, because some of the stuff really does look unnatural. It doesn't just look like the movement of smoke, and it could be that would make some sense. Yeah. I liked it though. I as an effect, like, as you know, it ruling out the lepers, they were like, all right, they're fine, you know, slow moving creepers, but they were just like, you know, weapons to the fog.
I did like the effects on the ghosts. I thought they were pretty cool. And I like that you didn't really see a lot of them. It worked. It was mostly in shadow with red glowing eyes, and they were
right,
you know, you're just seeing the fog in different places, but when it covered those people, you know, or they bust through the window and it kind of came in with them. I like that a lot. Like, those were some of my favorite moments. I kind of wish there was more of that, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it just works by getting a little less, you know, less is like more, but stuff like that.
Jay, did you like the lepers?
Yeah. I mean, I think they looked really cool, because they were kind of obscured by the fog, which it made like kind of like that, like creepy, unnatural element to it, you know. And I think, like you were mentioning earlier, the fog effects were pretty good most of the time. Like, you could tell, like, when the practical ones, like at the apartment door and like in the street at the end. And like, to me, it was like kind of obvious, like when they're looking at the landscape and they're looking at, you know, the ocean, it's like, yeah, that's not like actual fog out in the ocean, you know. And the way that it moved around, like, I don't know how they did it, but I think overall it looked pretty good, and the practical effects were pretty good.
When they had that reveal, when she's on the top of the lighthouse and you see like a close-up of its face with like mealworm wormy things in it, it kind of reminded me almost like of a end of the movie Friday the 13th reveal, where you see like,
oh yeah,
I just got that vibe of like, just like the, oh, now you see what they actually look like type kind of reveal. It just had that.
Yeah, they call them worm face. It's got a name.
Yeah, I mean, that was another part of the movie that I wasn't too fond of, because it's like, they're doing this stupid cat and mouse around the top of the lighthouse, and it's like, dude, you're a fucking, like, supernatural fog pirate. Like, the kills, I think, were really, really good, even from the start. Like, the first guy that got killed
was the guy just in the boat?
Yeah, yep. Okay. Yeah, the first guy on the boat, it was like looking over at the other boat when they pass each other, and he just gets impaled.
Yeah.
That's how they open it up. And it's like, I think that's a strong opening.
Yeah.
Really like the way that the corpse of the guy, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's an actor from, he was in Jaws. The guy that gets killed below deck on the first boat.
Yeah, I was just looking out the window.
Yeah. The way his eyes looked on his corpse,
Oh
it's like really ahead of its time. It definitely re like I remember I found that very disturbing.
Like his
Like,
eyes were
so,
removed almost. Like that was
yeah, but like there were like
weird.
these hollow holes. Like, and I could
Yeah.
see how they could do that practical with effects and everything. Just that look reminded me of almost like Japanese horror, you know, that like weird, like
Yeah,
unnatural, like,
look,
ugh, yeah.
six must die, whatever. There was more than six people at that. I mean, three guys were killed on the boat right in the beginning of the movie.
Right, but
Like,
now,
they don't
like,
count.
but now, if you're talking about this six must die that needs to be fulfilled and it has to be from the lineage of the people that
Right.
fucking screwed them over, why the people on the boat?
Yeah, or
That's
just
the only way they know.
a means to an end. They were just in their way, or they saw them, or whatever the case may be.
There's a whole fucking
Or
ocean. They could have went out of the way another way.
a lot of people have other things to say about it, because like I don't feel like there's been like a strong, like a very concrete
Like resolution
explanation
to
for
what it
any of this.
was.
Yeah, there really
Right.
isn't. You know, you could read different things and they'll say different things. The movie doesn't really explain it too much. The book says something else, so I'm not really sure what it is. And I'm not like a fog expert. I haven't watched this enough to really like
Yeah.
be like, oh no, I feel confident to tell you this is what it is. They kill the people on the boat. I don't know, I guess just because, but yeah, I think they need to kill six, like it was six different families that were involved in like tricking them into crashing, and they died. So I think they just need to kill six to make up for those six people. Like whether it's the lineage or just whatever, it works either way. It doesn't really make much of a difference. But I mean, it would kind of be interesting to see, like, oh well, I guess this family really just stuck around this town for a long time. Their descendants are still fucking there, and like,
Yeah. See,
yeah.
but I would be more interested to see like a sequel. Like, was there a sequel? I know you said there was a remake.
There was no sequel. There
There
was
was no sequel.
only a
See,
remake, and
because
that was pretty much it. Yeah.
I would want to see a sequel where the fan where they track down the family, right, to like other coastal cities or maybe even landlocked cities where, now you had just have like a ghost boat going through the middle of the street in like Cleveland. I don't know. Like it was to me, it wasn't explained well enough, or maybe I just wasn't paying that much attention to it. Like I was just, I guess, lost in the fact that there six people needed to die from the lineage, and I thought it was about, the coin. Like he gave the coin back, okay, all is forgiven. I was like, psych, it's not.
So it might just be six people, because like thinking about it now, right? The three people die on the boat, and then when they're in the coroner's office and like the one of the corpses comes back to life, he carves a three with a scalpel on the floor. And I'm thinking that's probably like, oh, we got three more left, right? And then they kill the weatherman, they kill Dan, right? And then they kill the babysitter who's watching Stevie's son, and they're going to kill her. Or the priest, and then they're taken away, right? Because they got the gold back, but then they come back and kill the priest anyway. So they did take their six.
Right,
Yeah,
so
they were
I
like
just
one,
looked it up
two.
and it was exactly six, and the priest was number six.
Yeah. So that's,
I guess makes sense.
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it doesn't make sense that they're all like tied to the specific family, because that, what,
Right,
the
it's
three guys in
just
the
they just need
boat?
six people. It doesn't
Right.
matter.
The three guys in the boat happen to all be descendants from three different families. I don't think that's really what it was.
They're like, why six? They're like, six. I'm like, so
So the reason it's six from what I'm investigating on this list of victims. So the captain seems to be seeking revenge for the six crew members that were killed. So it says prior to the fog, which is the lore and the backstory, there was the Captain Blake, and then
Yeah, he's the
six
main pirate.
unnamed crew members. So he seems to be seeking revenge on getting the six people, like avenging the six people. But now
Okay.
that begs the question, it's like, all right, so 100 years later, he came back, killed six people. It's like, all right, that's it. We good? It's like, no, every 100 years, he's gonna come back and kill six people.
Right,
He'll
because
come back and be like
it's
flying cars and shit. People have laser guns and
been.
fucking.
I think you picked up on it, Matt, probably. I don't know if Jay saw it, but like the opening scene in the church when the priest is there and like the guy's shutting down all the lights, is John Carpenter. Did you know
Oh, I
Oh,
didn't even
really?
realize that. When the
Yeah, that
guy
would be
that says,
cool.
like, do you want a drink? Do you want to come
Yeah,
back?
the guy with the long hair
Yeah.
and the beard. Yeah, that's John Carpenter.
I don't know what he looked like when he was younger. I always just think of him as that, like,
The
his
old guy
older
with
son.
white hair. Yeah. So here's something that's not really the movie itself so much, but just like a little behind the scenes thing. And I'm just curious, like I want to ask you guys about this. So in Halloween, it was John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, right? Like they wrote the movie, they made the movie, it was all them. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
No, that's no.
John Carpenter and his girlfriend.
That's my fucking thing. So they went on like a little vacation to Stonehenge, and there was, all this fog around because that's kind of what's fucking over there, right, in England. And they came up with the idea for this movie around that time, right? So they go and put their second movie together as a fucking couple. Well, he falls for Adrienne Barbeau, who is in this movie. She plays the radio host, Stevie Wayne. So now he's with her, but they're still making the fucking movie together. So essentially, like, he's making this movie with his ex-girlfriend while his new girlfriend is like one of the stars of it. That just seems like such film commitment, right? Like that you could just push through all that bullshit and make that movie. Isn't that like just a fun? I don't know. I could just, and I've listened to them like do commentary on this because they're both older now, and like he divorced her and shit too. So like they've done commentary together because they're a film team. Like they made some great films together. But it's just weird to me. I don't know. Like, could you fucking do that? I don't know how committed I am to a project where I'm just like deal with that shit.
In a word, no.
In two words,
I wouldn't.
hell no.
No, I just especially when it just happened, like
Right.
if it's
It must have. It had
that's
to
just so right. I mean, it had to have, but it's like
have. Yeah,
so
that's bizarre.
uncomfortable. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's fucking film commitment.
Maybe it was like they had just watched To All a Good Night and they were just like, all right, today I go with you, and they were all okay with it.
Jay brings up the thing, and that's like the original thing is like Carpenter's like one of his favorite movies because he references it constantly, like, and then he fucking remade it, but in Halloween it was what was playing on TV. At the end of the movie you have Stevie Wayne in her fucking lighthouse radio station place, and she's repeating essentially the dialogue from the end of the thing. So yeah, obviously he's a huge fan, and I don't I see why. It's like that's a great movie. We talk about censorship and stuff like that, and that's a big theme of what we're going to be talking about for the year, especially with these slasher movies of the 80s. But this wasn't the case because they didn't really have stuff like that. Even like the original Halloween didn't have a lot of gore in it when he did a slasher. This movie had a lot of competition with stuff like that around this time. And I think that was another reason why that was maybe lost on audiences a little bit, because just maybe wasn't the time for this kind of movie, Yeah, the movie is kind of, it has a story, right? It has like a story and rules, or like something to follow, but also it's like ambiguous. Like a lot of stuff is a little like strange. I think they just kind of went back and forth a lot on what they were actually doing with the story. I don't know. I know that like there's like obviously we talked about there was a remake. There was a book adaptation, and I read up on that a little bit just to see like if there was something else in there or if it clarified stuff. Yeah, and the book does sort of explain an aspect of the film that's not really in it, which is like they talk about the six people that have to die.
Yeah, six must die or whatever on the
Yeah,
board.
it's six
Right.
people who are tied to the original family that murdered them.
Yeah, I gathered that though
Did
from the
you?
movie.
I did
Yeah.
not. I wasn't sure if that was a thing. You did too, Jay? Even though you know
No,
it before?
I did
Oh,
not. I did
okay.
not gather that. And like that's one of the things that I guess knowing that would make sense. But like I like the board, right? So when the kid picks up the piece of driftwood and it says like whatever from the ship, and then like it gets starts getting wet for no reason, and then when it's exposed, it has different writing on it. I was like, oh shit, that's kind of cool. And then she, goes on fire, and then she blows it out with a fire extinguisher. But yeah, to me, I did not piece that together. I did not understand where that came from or what the meaning was. And to me, it was like I felt very lost with that. And I was like, oh, I feel like they should have followed up with something about the piece of driftwood, and what the meaning was of the writing on there.
Yeah.
But obviously,
I think it was
you
just
guys.
a soft attempt at exposition, but they did a much more clear when he was like reading from the journal and he was talking about the conspirators that, and the conspirators that planned to basically fuck these people over. And I think he actually says there were six of them. And yeah. That was pretty much it. It's not like explicitly stated, We have to hide all the old people, you know.
I don't even know if the old people, but just people who are, like, actually tied to that family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Father Malone's book of exposition he finds in the fucking in the brick. He reads the plot of the movie, like. So if you want to watch The Fog, you can see it on pretty much any streaming platform, but you got to pay for it. You got to pay for The Fog.
If you want to watch Pirates of the Caribbean, it's on Disney Plus.
It is. That's true. They released this movie, obviously, on DVD and somewhat recently on a Blu-ray. Shout Factory does, like, awesome releases for horror movies. They put a regular Blu-ray out that's out and about for a little bit. But recently, they did a 4K. You know, just to watch it in his intended vision, you know, with the 4K camera he used back then, and he filmed it with. He's like, oh, we just can't watch it on the TVs yet. So now you can, you know. They have that. You could get that. They have that if you want to watch that.
I think you're saying, don't do that. Don't be a sucker. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not.
It does sound like that.
I'm not saying that. I understand it. Like, I.
Now we lost the 4K crowd. Are we going to have any viewers left? Like,
yeah, well, people that listen to us listen to the old radio. They did release it on a 4K, and it's many different, like, ways to buy the movie. I own the Blu-ray. It's got a couple of special features that are worth watching if you're a fan of it. And if you haven't seen it, just rent it. I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Oh, 100%. A strong recommendation that it's a must-see. It gives you very cool, like, vibes, especially in the first half of the movie.
Yeah, likewise. And coming from first-time viewer, I'd say it's definitely a good watch. I'd say it could be a little slow at times, in my opinion. And from all the things that I did not pick up, I did not like the ending. But yeah. I think it's definitely worth the watch. And it's one of the horror classics, so check it out.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Thanks for your support on this one. Yeah. You didn't know what the fuck this was for.
Yeah.
Until now.
Well, you know what? I support it now. You know why? Because I'm being a true contrarian, and I'm going contrary to what I normally say. So now, yeah, I do like it now, and I do recommend it.
The motherfucker's like, it's a classic. I'm like, all right, guy.
Joe asked me to watch this movie called The Fooge.
What the fuck with him?
I watched The Fooge on Stars.
The Mockbuster.
Same plot. Captain Balaki. We're kind of focusing on the slashers this year from 1980. But I thought it would be good to kind of branch off here and there for the movies that were popular throughout those movies. And this was definitely a big one. It's definitely worth talking about. There's a handful from 1980 that are huge. So, like Jay says, it's a fucking classic, horror classic.
That's right. And if dude, I say it, yeah, that's how you know it's real.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this guy loves The Fog. He talks about it all the time. And again, I didn't really get that kind of criticism until recently, you know, until after the movie was released. Yeah, check it out. And thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll see you here next week with two slashers that you probably haven't heard of, but are pretty damn good. So with that said, everybody, thank you very much for listening and have a good fucking night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Next week on the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. Next week, we continue with our second episode on the Slasher Origin series with To All a Good Night. We hope you guys tune in and enjoy.
Hey, guys, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple iTunes. Also, you can follow us on social media. We have Twitter, and that's at Sexy Vamp Teeth. We also have Instagram at the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. So if you guys want updates on the show, please follow us on our social media sites. And make sure to tune in every Monday night for a new episode. Thanks for listening, guys, and good night.
You've been listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
Yeah. I knew it just like, you're not a fucking fog.
I'm not a fucking fog! God damn.
Jade, are you funny?
No. I'm not funny, nor will I try to be.